This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين له الحمد الحسن والثناء الجميل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله الهادي إلى سواء السبيل أما بعد. So inshallah ta'ala, after a long break, fairly long break, we are back with Surah Abasa. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma. We mentioned the beginning of the surah, and I think this is our third lesson in it. I want to go back a little bit just to remind ourselves briefly where we got to. Very briefly, where did we get to? We reached the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Let man look at his food. But before that, we reached the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهِ. May man be cursed or be killed. مَا أَكْفَرَهِ. How much of a disbeliever is he? Or we said, مَا أَكْفَرَ. What makes him such a disbeliever? And what causes man to disbelieve after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him all of these blessings? What causes that person to disbelieve? قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. What is it that Allah created him from? مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. From a drop he created him, and then he destined for him. فَقَدَّرَهُ. He decreed for him. He decreed for him his rizq. He decreed for him his lifespan. He decreed, أَشَقِيٌ أَمْ سَعِيدٌ. Is this person going to be from the people of the fire, or are they going to be from the people of Jannah? ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then the person is caused to die. Allah causes him to die. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. And then he places him in a grave, or he provides a grave for him. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. And then when Allah wills, he resurrects him again. كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ. No, rather mankind has not yet completed what Allah commanded him to do. And then we reach the statement of Allah, which is where we are here. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Let mankind look at his food. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فِيهِمْ تِنَانِ. This here is Allah telling you, reminding you of the blessings of Allah. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Let every person look at their food that Allah has given you. Allah has provided for you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. As Allah said, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I don't want them to give me anything. I don't want them to give me food. I don't need them to give me food. Rather, everything we have is from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us to remember those blessings by looking at the food that Allah has given us. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. But Ibn Kathir, he mentioned a different reason for this ayah. He said, وَفِيهِ اسْتِدْلَالُ بِإِحْيَاءِ النَّبَاتِ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ الْهَامِدَةِ عَلَىٰ إِحْيَاءِ الْأَجْسَامِ بَعْدَمَا كَانَتْ عِظَامًا بَالِيَةً وَتُرَابًا مُتَمَزِّقًا. He said, this ayah, and I want you to think about how is this the case. This ayah is an evidence that Allah is able to resurrect you after you die. So how is that? فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Let every person look at their food. How is that an evidence that Allah can resurrect you after you die? How is that an evidence? Ibn Kathir, he said, this ayah is an evidence that Allah can resurrect you after you die. There's two ways. You only have to give me one. The ayah, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ. Let a person look at their food.
This ayah.
Look at your food. How is looking at your food a proof that you're going to be resurrected Yawm al-Qiyamah? It's a good try, but no, not because Allah tested you. Allah tells you, look, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ. Go and look at your food.
From the food, you can kill an animal, but it keeps you alive. So you can live after death.
Close, you're not far away, not far away. What he said is that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the plants, for example, the vegetation, the vegetables, you eat, you cause the plants to die and then he causes them to grow again. So this is evidence for the resurrection. Also, if you look at the ayat before and the ayat after, are in the context of everything Allah has done for you, that the one who created you from nothing, the one who is able to cause you to die and bring you to life, the one who decreed everything for you, the one who provided your food for you. And if you look at this food, it contains many signs of Allah Azza wa Jal in it. There are many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. And this is all an evidence for Allah's power. Because you have to remember that resurrection itself is the evidence of Allah's power, right? To be resurrected, it shows you Allah's power and Allah's knowledge that He can resurrect you. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you all of this provision that He gives you, the one who has the power to provide that for you has the power to resurrect you Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. This is connected to the previous ayah. Let a person look at their food. Let them look at their food. Let them look at how we sent down the water and we poured it upon the earth. And this food that you eat, if it wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down water upon this earth, you would not have been able to eat it. If it were not for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, poured down water in torrents. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. Then we broke open the earth and we split it and the plant, the seed came out. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّى. And we caused grains to grow inside. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. And grapes and herbage. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. And olives and palm trees. وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا. And gardens of shrubbery, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا, and fruit and grass, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. You are struggling to answer the question. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the miracle of that food, one by one. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. First thing is we poured down water upon it in torrents. Torrents of water, like, as if you're pouring water upon it. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. Then the earth split open, and what came out from the earth? The shoot from the seed. Think about this in relation to the resurrection. When you die, and you turn into dust, and there remains that small bone from the base of your spine, that small little piece of bone from the base of your spine. How Allah poured water upon that seed, and how the earth cracked open, and how that seed came out and grew again, and then it turned into grains, and it turned into grapes, and it turned into herbs, and it turned into all of these different plants. From one pouring of water that Allah poured upon it, and all of these different things came out of the earth. Like this, Allah will cause the resurrection to happen. And fruits and grass, all of them coming out from the earth. All of them were buried deep in the earth and they were dead. They were nothing. And if you there was nothing to see, there was nothing there, they died. And they were buried in the earth. So the example of the resurrection is like the example of the seed. And if you're thinking about the animal, because the person is eating meat, that animal cannot survive without the grain. That animal has to be fed from the plants that the animal eats. Those plants were dead in the ground. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured water upon them and the earth split open. And the seed shot up. And from it came many different things, not one type of plant. Many, many different types of plants and different types of herbs and different types of fruits and different types of vegetables. They grew in different trees and different shrubs and different grasses and herbs. They all grew from the dead ground when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured upon it water in torrents. Mata'an lakum wa li'an'amikum. As a mata' for you, as a temporary enjoyment, a temporary benefit for you. وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ for you and for your cattle. And this is the answer regarding the meat. That someone says, how do you link that to somebody's eating a sheep or something? How do you link that? Because Allah said, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. It's for you and your animals. The reason you and your animals are alive is because Allah took those plants out of the dead earth. Allah Azza wa Jal took it out of the dead earth. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took those out of the dead earth, and how Allah safeguarded those seeds, and how Allah caused them to crack open, and how Allah caused them to grow into all of the different things, then here, like this, a person should recognize that in this there is a sign of how you will be resurrected. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. So now how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah Azza wa Jal linked these ayat all together. And then Allah got you to think about the resurrection and where you came from, and think about your life, how Allah brought you from a drop. Look at all the evidences for resurrection Allah has given. Allah brought you from a drop, nutfa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused you to grow and then to be born. And then Allah decreed for you your life, and Allah gave your rizq, and Allah caused it to grow from the dead ground. And then Allah tells you all of this is to cause you to think, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ, that when the terrible, we'll see in the translation how they describe it. The terrible blast, or the deafening blast. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ, when the terrible blast will come. This word as-sakhah is one of the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ibn Kathir, he said, Ismun min asma'i Yawm al-Qiyamah. Azzamahu Allah wa haddarahu ibadahu. Allah made the hour that it's something very, very severe. Allah didn't call it by something with a small name or a light name. Allah called it something very, very severe. As-sakha. يعني صيحة القيامة, because it will cause the ears to become deaf. That's what the word asakha means. That it will cause the ears to become deaf. Ibn Abbas, he said, Ismu min asma'il qiyamah. It's a name from the names of the Day of Judgment. Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, La'allahu ismun linnafkhati fi sur. It's one of the names of the blowing in the horn. And Ibn Jarir, he linked it to the blowing in the horn. That the blowing of the horn, because we know that there is an angel, the angel of the horn. And the angel of the horn is Israfil, alayhi salam. And he has put the horn to his mouth. And he doesn't take his eyes off the throne of Allah because he thinks he has to blow the horn anytime. It's very close. So before, he was not ready. Since the coming of the Prophet wasallam, he put the horn ready to blow into the horn, to sound the qiyamah. How many times will it be blown in the horn? Will the horn be blown into? Twice, huh? وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَاعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. The horn will be blown, and everyone in the heavens and everyone in the earth will fall down unconscious except who Allah wills. Then it will be blown again and they will all stand up. I.e. everyone, so remember, everyone who is alive on the earth, people die, right? People keep on dying. As they die, they go to their grave. They remain in their grave. When the first time the horn is blown, whoever is left alive on the earth, when the horn is blown, everybody will die. Whoever is left on the earth. وَلَنْ تَقُومَ السَّاعَةَ إِلَّا عَلَى شِرَارِ الْخَلْقِ. The hour will happen to the worst of mankind, the worst people. Nobody will be left on the earth when the horn is blown except the worst people. Before that, every Muslim will be dead. So just before the horn is blown, there will be a time when there will be a wind, a warm wind that will come. And that warm wind, it will cause every single Muslim to die. Every single believer will die. And the Quran will be raised up. It will be taken out from the people and it will be taken from the Mus'haf. So the Quran will be raised back to where it came from. And the believers will die. And nobody will be left on the earth except the worst of creation. And those people will be the people that when the hour comes and the horn will be blown and those people will die. Everyone else is already dead. So now everybody is dead. Those people who died before and those people who died when the horn was blown. Then there will be a gap of 40. The narrator, he said, 40 days or 40 years or 40 months. He said, I don't know what, I don't remember what the Prophet said, or I didn't hear what he said. I don't know whether he said 40 years or 40 days or 40 months. But I remember he said 40. And then the horn will be blown again. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And then every single person who has ever lived on this earth will stand up. Rather, not just the people, even the animals will be raised with them. But the animals will not go to Jannah. The animals will go to dust. Allah created in Jannah animals for Jannah. But the animals of this world, they will also be resurrected. It is said they will be resurrected among mankind. Meaning that while you are in the plains of the Qiyamah and the people are running from place to place, among them will be lions and tigers and all kinds of animals will be with them. But nobody will care on that day. Because the day will be so terrifying, they will not even look at the animals that are around them. Rather, the people will be resurrected how? حُفَاتٌ أُرَاتٌ غُرْلَ. They will be barefooted and naked and uncircumcised. Some of the companions, they asked, will the men not look at the women? Will people not look at each other? Everybody has no shoes. They have no clothes. They are uncircumcised. Will the people not look? The Prophet ﷺ said, the matter will be more serious than that. The people will be so terrified for themselves, they won't even look at it. And the people will be in a state of extreme distress. And Allah said, just the horn itself is a sakha. It will break someone's ears to hear it. Just to hear the sound of the horn. And this word sakha, they say it is a sawt ashadid. A sawt ashadid, a very, very big sound, a very loud sound. But more than that, it's a loud sound that causes people to become deaf. That's what the word asakha means. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي. What will be the situation on that day? وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي. On the day that a person will flee from their brother and their mother and their father and their wife and their children. You can't imagine any situation where you will run away from your parents. You will run away, why? Why will the person run away from their mom, from their dad? Why will someone run away from their children? Why? What will make the person run away from there? Why will a person run away? They're scared. They don't want their mother to take one good deed from them. The person, there's two reasons. First of all, the person is so scared for themselves. Everyone is self-centered on that day. Except who? Hatta even the prophets, alayhimus salatu wassalam, except for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The prophets will say, nafsi, nafsi. Can you imagine that? You go to a prophet, the prophet says, I'm worried about me, I'm worried about me, nafsi, nafsi, I'm scared for myself. Just go to somebody else, I can't help you today. And they go to Adam, they go to Ibrahim, they go to Musa, they go to Isa, and every single one of them says, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. Until they go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they ask him, to intercede, and he says, "Ana laha." This is what Allah has given me the responsibility to do. A person is running away because they're so scared for themselves. They have no time to worry. They cannot help anybody else. Don't come near to me because I can't do anything for you this day. And because they are scared that that person will take even one good deed from them. What did the Prophet say on that day? My Lord became angry today with an anger he's never been angry like it before, and he will never be angry like it again. There's a narration that the Shaykh mentions regarding Isa ibn Maryam, that he will say, لا أسأله اليوم إلا نفسي لا أسأله مريم التي ولدتني. That he say, today I will not ask Allah for anything except to save myself, Isa. I will not even ask Allah to save Maryam who gave birth to me. And Isa will say, I can't ask Allah even to save my mother who gave birth to me, Maryam. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي. Qatada, he said, الْأَحَبُّ فَالْأَحَبُّ وَالْأَقْرَبُ فَالْأَقْرَبُ مِنْ هَوْلِ هَذَا مِنْ هَوْلِ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. He said that the person will run away from all the people who are beloved and close to them because of the severity of that day. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, he will run away from them so that they don't ask him for their rights and the oppression that he did to them. And he'll run away from them because he's scared that his mom will say, you were supposed to do this for me, in the dunya and you didn't do it. Give me your good deeds. This was the opinion of Ibn Jarir. And some of them said they will run away because of the severity of what they will, they don't want them to see them like this. And they run away from their mom. I don't want my mom to see me like this. So they run away. And some of them said they will run away because they are busy with themselves. Because they are busy with themselves. So all of these are reasons why the people will run away. They run away because they don't want their parents to take their rights from them, to take that in the dunya you were supposed to be good to me, you are not good to me. You were supposed to spend on me, you did not spend on me. You were supposed to look after me, you did not look after me. Or because they don't want their parents to see them in that situation. Or because they're busy with themselves, they don't think about anybody else on that day. And that's why on that day, your wealth and your children will not benefit you. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your wealth and your children will not benefit you anything. The only thing that will benefit you is you come to Allah with a sound heart. And then Allah said, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Every single person on that day will have something that makes them busy. Every single person on that day will have something to make them busy. And here he brought the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that the wife of Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Ya Rasulullah, Nanzur aw yura ba'duna aw yara ba'duna awrata ba'd. She said, on that day, O Messenger of Allah, will people look at each other's body? The Prophet ﷺ replied, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي. Everyone will have something make them busy on that day. Something making them busy on that day. Every single person is going to have on that day something that makes them busy. Then Allah Azza wa Jal told us about two groups of people on that day. Because in the end of the day, when all of the Yawm al-Qiyamah is finished, there are two groups of people. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. On that day, there will be two groups of people. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A people in paradise and a people in hellfire. There is no third group. When everything is finished, there are either people in paradise, there are either people in the fire. And that's why Allah said, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. There will be faces on that day that will be bright, مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. They will be laughing and they will be glad. مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ, yani they got the good news from Allah. وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ. There will be faces on that day that will be covered in dust. تَرْحَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ. That the darkness or blackness will cover them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. They are the disbelievers and they are الْفَجَرَةُ. I'll read you what Ibn Kathir, he says about this. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ. They will be covered بِالسَّوَادِ. It will be covered and they will be سواد الوجوه. Their faces will be blackened on that day. وجوه يومئذ مصفرة. There will be faces that are bright and there will be faces that are blackened on that day. Ibn Jarir, he said, القطر هو الغبار, يعني they'll be covered in dust. They'll be covered in dust. Like Allah said, يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه. on the day when there will be faces that will become white and there will be faces that will be blackened. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. These are the people who are الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. Now the question here is, why did Allah bring these two words together, Al-Kafir and Al-Fajir? Al-Fajir is like the evil doer. So generally speaking, if we say Al-Fajir, and we mean in this, sometimes it means Al-Kafir, sometimes it means, but why did these two words come together? Al-Kafara, Al-Fajara, the disbelievers and the wicked. Because why not just, they are the kuffar, they are the disbelievers. Yeah, you could have a Muslim who is wicked. You could have a Muslim who is wicked. That's a very good benefit. Yani you could have a Muslim who is a wicked Muslim, but eventually goes to Jannah. You could. But that's not just that. There's something here. What does a person disbelieve with generally? Now, you can disbelieve with other, but generally, what do you disbelieve with? What's the first place that disbelief settles in a person? In their heart, right? So, yes, a person can disbelieve with their tongue, with their limbs, but generally speaking, it's an expression of what's in the heart. The disbelief, the place of al-kufr is in the heart, right? To begin with. And then the deeds, they explain or they show that kufr in the person's deeds. The disbelief is in the heart. So it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about their heart when he said al-kafara, and he spoke about their actions when he said al-fajara. It's like he spoke about their heart and he spoke about their actions. Otherwise, a person of course can disbelieve with their actions. But when you disbelieve with your actions, yani you're disbelieving with something that's already in your heart, right? Like your heart has settled upon it. Your heart's not full of iman. And it's as though Allah is emphasizing to us how important our actions are and how it's your actions you will see yawm al-qiyamah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ. They are the disbelievers. And what did you see from them in this dunya? Fujur, wickedness and wrongdoing and disobedience. That's what you saw from them in this dunya. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. So that brings us to the end of Surah Abasa. We went a little bit quickly, but I thought, you know, we spent a long time on the surah, so it's good for us to move on. We'll move on to Surah An-Nazi'at, inshallah, next week. I don't know what you guys think about this time. I think it's not a bad time, yani, after Maghrib. It's better than after Isha, or what do you think?
Actually, it's after Isha, because most people is working, you know. You can't stay after Isha, for example.
The problem is that people work in at different times, right? There's people who... they work on a Saturday night, they can only come at this time. But it's better for people who are watching from abroad, because now the time went very late if we keep it to after Isha, so it becomes like 11 p.m. in Dubai or something like that. So we maybe keep it at this time for a while, inshallah. We'll see how it goes. See if we have any questions, inshallah. And then we can wrap up the class and we can wait for Isha, inshallah. Does anyone of the brothers who is here have any questions? We can open on any topic. We don't have to do it on tafsir. You got anyone on Telegram today? 16 people, no questions. Okay. Give them a minute. Okay, I'll give them a minute.
Would it be like right as well to say about the last verse which you mentioned? Like in the kind of roots of the two words, one is like kafara, it's like the root is kind of like covering something up, so it's not seen. Whereas fajara is like it's breaking out, so it becomes visible. So that kind of makes sense with like the other side as well, of like one is in the heart, so it's not visible to anyone, whereas the other one is like actions which you see.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense to say that the basic from the root of the word that kafara is something which is covered up, and fajr is something that breaks out. But this here doesn't show you that kufr is in the heart. What it shows you is that kufr is sure it comes out through the limbs, and it starts in the heart as a seed of disbelief which breaks out, yanfajr, it explodes out from a person's heart, and you see that wickedness in their actions. And that is based on the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhuma, ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah idha salahat salah al jasad kulluh wa idha fasadat fasad al jasad kulluh ala wa hiya al qalb. That indeed in the body there's a piece of flesh, if it's upright the whole body will be upright, and if it's corrupt the whole body will be corrupt, and it's the heart. Can a Muslim be wicked? Yeah, of course, a Muslim can be a person who is a wicked person, because you have three levels within Islam. You have Islam, and you have Iman, and you have Ihsan. In these three levels, Ihsan is the voluntary deeds, right? You're doing extra prayers, you're keeping away from things that are makruh. Iman is the obligatory deeds. So it's the things you have to do and you have to keep away from. So when you pray your five daily prayers, that comes under Iman. And when you pray your sunnah prayers, that comes under Ihsan. So what comes under Islam? The things which keep you a Muslim. Okay? So if somebody does wicked deeds, these wicked deeds, generally speaking, they don't take a person's Islam away, but they take away their iman, al-iman al-wajib. They take away their obligatory iman. They take away their obligatory iman. لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. No person commits adultery while they're committing adultery as a believer. That doesn't mean they're kafir. It means they lost al-iman al-wajib. They lost their obligatory iman. The things which make you a Muslim, like worshipping Allah alone with no partner, and I believe personally the five daily prayers are included in this because of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, "An ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar." The difference between us and them is the prayer, and whoever leaves it has disbelieved. That these things are what keep you as a Muslim. And if you don't do these things, then you leave Islam. As for if you do wicked things and you oppress people and you steal from people and you cheat people and you lie and you hurt people, then this doesn't make you kafir. But it makes you that you lost your obligatory iman, you lost al-iman al-wajib. As for if you leave the sunnah prayers and you leave the voluntary charity, then this means you left al-iman al-mustahab. You left your recommended iman. And this is important because there's a lot of people, a large group of people, who mistakenly they believe that if a Muslim does something very bad, they're not Muslim anymore. And that's not true. And it's a dangerous road to go down, to believe that just because somebody does something bad, they're not a Muslim. Rather, the things that take you outside of Islam, they are nawaqid al-Islam, the things which remove Islam from a person, like making a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal, or making fun of the religion, or leaving the prayer and leaving the obligatory prayers. These things take a person outside of Islam. As for just doing bad things, this takes a person outside of the obligatory iman that they're required to have. But it doesn't take them outside of Islam. And Allah knows best. There are, so the person who will come with half of their face beautiful and half of their face ugly. The one that comes to mind off the top of my head is the one who has two wives and he doesn't treat them fairly. not in the sense of love, because you can't love both of your wives equally. But he doesn't treat them fairly in his time and money and so on. So he will come Yawm al-Qiyamah and one side of him will be ma'il, it will be like it's drooping. Yani one side of his face will be drooping. And there are a lot of punishments. Yani the person who begs from the person will come with no flesh on their face. And all the flesh will be have been taken from their face because they came and they begged. So these are from the different descriptions of the people who will come Yawm al-Qiyamah. The person who is Dhul-Wajhain, the person who's two-faced, any the person who is two-faced, any good in one way and bad in another. These are all from the people who will come with similar kind of punishments Yawm al-Qiyamah. So there are quite a few people who will come with different punishments to their face, any like half their face. But those are some of them, many.
What about the statement of Allah? On them will be no fear, nor will they grieve. Is this with regards to righteous belief on the day of judgment?
There is no doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in many ayat, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There is no fear upon them, nor will they grieve. Many times Allah told us. So this tells us that there will be a people who will be protected Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is the thing. Now you came to the question. Why will they be worried? There are two answers to this. First of all, the people who will have no fear upon them, those people will not be everyone who will go to Jannah. Not everyone who will go to Jannah will have no fear upon them. There will be people who go to Jannah after going to Jahannam. There will be people who go to Jannah after being punished on the plains of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Right? So, not everyone who will go to Jannah will be the people that had no fear. That's the first thing. The second thing is to remember that Yawm al-Qiyamah is a series of mawaqif. It's a series of different things that happen. So in one moment everyone is scared, in the next there can be people who are not scared and others who are. And the third thing to remember is that that when Allah tells us about the people that have no fear, they are the people who are truly righteous believers, right? And deliberately Allah did not tell us what will happen to the believers that are less than them, and the believers that are not as good as them. For example, the hadith that from among the people of this ummah, there will be 70,000 people يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. They'll go to Jannah without any account and any punishment. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he went into his house and the people began to talk about who are the 70,000. And they said, perhaps they are the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Perhaps it's the Sahaba. And others, they said other things. They said, perhaps it's this person, perhaps these people. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he came out. He said, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَلَا يَكْتُوُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They are the people who do not believe in omens, and they do not ask for ruqya, and they do not do cauterization, like the burning to medical treatment by burning the skin. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they put their complete trust in Allah. And then Uqash ibn Mihsan radiallahu anh, he said, O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me one of them. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Anta minhum, you are one of them. Then another man said, O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me one of them. He said, Sabaqaka biha Uqasha. Uqasha beat you to it. So this 70,000 yani who will go to Jannah bi ghayri hisabin wala adab, they have no major account, they have no punishment. This is 70,000, 70,000 from how many? In the world today, how many billion people there are? How many people since the beginning of time? 70,000 of them. يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from them. There are some narrations that mention that among those 70,000, there are 70,000 more. And for every one of them, there is 70,000 more. And every single one of the 70,000 has 70,000 more. And in some of the narration, with every one of them, there is 70,000 more. But that's still a tiny amount in comparison. More than that, what are we told? That Allah will set aside the people of hellfire and the people of Jannah. How many people will go to Jahannam? 999 out of 1,000. How many will go to Jannah? One. And out of every 1,000 people, 999 will go to Jahannam forever. And only one will go to Jannah from 1,000 people. SubhanAllah. So this, there are different situations. Any a person, yes, there will be people that have no fear, but that's not everybody. And the idea is to make you scared. The idea is not that you sit and you say, Alhamdulillah, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ. Yani, I will not be scared on that day, I will not have any. The person, yani, should be scared. Because there are not that many people who will escape. Allahumma, if the prophets are saying, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself, so how about the others? And the evidence for this is that Yawm al-Qiyamah is mawaqif. It's different situations. So someone can be in a situation in one place and a different situation in another place. And they could be, when they came from their grave, that they are running and they're scared and whatever. And then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them safety and security and so on. Like, this is not because the Yawm